Jack Peck filled our pulpit last week, and I consider myself to be a pretty good friend of Jack's, so I thought I could kid him gently about his Pentecostal background and my Presbyterian background, and I wanted to give him a bit of advice that I thought would help him adapt to our service. So, Jack, I said, you're a Pentecostal and I'm a Presbyterian. When you ask a question in the Presbyterian church of the congregation during your sermon, that is a rhetorical question. I said, don't expect me to raise my hand, and don't expect the others in our congregation to raise their hand in response to your rhetorical question. But I have a question this morning, and it's rhetorical. Has the ministry of the members been sufficient? Do you feel that you have been ministered to spiritually during the fall as members that have participated in all of the things that we have done? I find that my book of order is now out of date as the new year comes in. This is for 2017, 2018, and 2019. But I don't think the Presbyterians have lots of subsections and sections, and I don't think G1.0304 has changed. The ministry of members. Membership in the Church of Jesus Christ is a joy and a privilege. It is also a commitment to participate in Christ's mission. A faithful member, and I see nothing but faithful members before me this morning. A faithful member bears witness to God's love and grace and promises to be involved responsibly in the ministry of Christ's church. And we've had that opportunity for involvement this fall and this winter. Such involvement includes proclaiming the good news in word and deed, taking part in the common life and worship of a congregation, lifting one another up in prayer, mutual concern, and active support, studying scripture and the issues of Christian faith and life, supporting the ministry of the church through the giving of money, time, and talents, demonstrating a new quality of life within and through the church, responding to God's activity in the world through service to others, living responsibly in the personal, family, vocational, political, cultural, and societal relationships of life, working in the world for peace, for justice, for freedom, and human fulfillment, caring for God's creation, participating in the governing responsibilities of the church, and reviewing and evaluating regularly the integrity of one's membership and considering ways in which one's participation in the worship and service of the church may be increased and made more meaningful. We employ at this church a secretary to man the office and to do clerical and secretarial duties, but that secretary also is a member of this church and exemplifies what ministry of the members is all about. And I'm going to call on Deborah at this time to come and report on this particular Sunday, the first Sunday in the year, about coming Sundays in worship and fellowship. Deborah Hedrick.
Our worship committee has been meeting regularly with the musicians and Todd, and we have speakers. That is one of the many ways the Lord has blessed us. We've really not had a trouble finding speakers, thanks a great deal to having Todd and Clark, and now Marianne Jacobson has agreed to join us on a regular basis to fill the pulpit. When I say regular basis, I'm not monthly, probably once a month. That is not 100, but she will join us this Sunday, this month, the last Sunday of this month. For January, you may have noticed we have, after this Sunday, next Sunday, we have Todd. The third Sunday is Judge Ron Kincannon from Boise City, who will speak, and the fourth Sunday will be Marianne Jacobson, who will give her meditation. We've been very blessed in that way, and if you have any suggestions on people to ask, this is a time to be flexible, and we are more than welcome. You can let me know or anyone on the worship committee, and I'm glad to give a call and see if they would like to join us on a Sunday. I want to mention a couple other things about worship. We set that, or I prepare the, I call it the worship schedule for the entire month of, for the entire year, January through December. I have set the ushers and the liturgist and the communion servers, the offering counters, and I am going to do that again at the end of this month at some point. And if you have been a regular liturgist and would just rather not be asked to do that, just let me know. Or if you've not somehow been left off the list, this list originated at one time by volunteers, and I just keep those same people on every year till they speak up. So if you'd rather not be on the liturgist list, you can let me know that. Or if you'd like to be put on or would be glad, that's something you feel comfortable you could do for our church, is read the scripture, it's printed out, then just let me know. And with our ushers, we normally have four each month, and this year we're going to cut that down to three, which will mean when it's time for the offering, any of you men may get tapped on the shoulder to help with offering. And if you come a Sunday and you don't, the bulletins are stacked back there, but you don't see anyone passing them out, just, and people are, I don't even need to tell you this because people do it all the time, but just step up, hold out the bulletins, pass them out. We do want to be a welcoming church. And of course, once, when these schedules are made out so far in advance, I don't know what months people will be gone or sickness, different things can happen in that year's time. So feel free to just jump in and help in any way you can. And if you would rather not be an usher and you are on the list, let me know. This is the month to let me know. Or if that's something you wouldn't mind doing, there's no special credentials to be an usher. So we would love to have anyone volunteer, men or women. I've already mentioned this once, but I want to reiterate how much we appreciate and how blessed we are to have Todd. Gave a wonderful Christmas Eve service, led us, and he's been so kindly leading us and ministering to us in a variety of ways, and we are so thankful to have him. Now I'm going to put on the Fellowship Committee Chairman hat and talk about our Wednesday night suppers. And they are going well. We took a hiatus during Christmas break, but we'll start again this Wednesday. You just come. We use paper products because people are going on to bell choir or choir. I don't want you to feel like there's some responsibility to coming. We just love to. It's a nice time of fellowship and sharing the thoughts of the week or what the latest news is. And everyone is invited to that. And we will continue those. Becky and I haven't. We'll stop by Easter for sure, and depending where things fall in the spring, we will see. But we will be continuing those for the next couple of months for sure, and I hope you all will join us at Fellowship Hall, and it doesn't have to be right at 5. It's any time from 5 to 6. Come and fix yourself a bowl of soup and sit down and enjoy us for some fellowship and communion with our fellow church members.
Thank you, Deborah. If you're like me, you don't like change very much, and I had to change my cable television recently. Chris Hitch convinced me that I was not a streaming type of guy, and so I've got Vive Cable, and if you have the Vive Cable Sports Package, you have not one, but two channels dedicated to nothing but the Southeast Conference. I've got two SEC channels. And having recently watched the Peach Bowl, I'm not really inclined to have much need for the SEC channels for the next few months. I'm not too interested, but I was clicking by the other night, and I had forgotten this, but Lou Holtz came out of retirement. He's in his 80s now, so this has been some years ago. Came out of retirement to coach at South Carolina, which is in the SEC, so they had an SEC stories about Lou Holtz, and I had to stop and watch, because if you've heard Lou Holtz speak, he's quite inspirational. He always has the same theme: if you're not growing, you're dying. If you're a tree, if you're a business institution, if you're a football team, if you're a church, if you're an individual, if you're not growing, you're dying. And if you're not growing, how do you solve that problem? According to Lou Holtz, and I don't agree with everything Lou Holtz says, and he wasn't completely successful in turning around the South Carolina football team 10 years ago or so, but his solution is, if you're not growing, you need to set some goals. So having watched that, I sent my wife an email. I never send anybody else any emails other than Becky, but I said this in my email: in determining the continuing viability of the First Presbyterian Church of Guymon, and we have a session meeting coming up this Thursday evening, I believe, with Andrew Long, who's the minister in Enid, and I intend to raise this whether it's in order or not, but in determining the continuing viability of the First Presbyterian Church of Guymon, we should set 4 goals and evaluate our ability to reach them over the course of the next 12 months. And before you hear these, Lou Holtz also says it's not worthwhile to set goals that are easy. If you set easy goals and you achieve them, you really haven't done much. So you need to set goals that are hard, maybe beyond your grasp. So here they are. On Sunday, December 27, 2020, we should be able to answer these 4 fundamental questions. Number 1, have we been able to maintain an average Sunday attendance of at least 50? The goals need to be difficult. Number 2, have we been able to achieve an average monthly income of at least $10,000? If you think about the money that's going to cost to maintain and repair this building and to have a well-paid ordained minister, $10,000 is not out of the question about what the money that we'll need to raise. Number 3, have we been able to put a new roof on the church? Number 4, have we been able to hire a new minister? If we can't reach those goals over the course of 2020, then we need to turn our attention to not only winding up the business of the church, or at least scaling it back in an orderly fashion that leaves us with fond memories rather than lingering regrets or any kind of dissension that might result if we don't pay attention to these things. So in that spirit, I'm going to call forward now somebody that is a leader in this area, and that's Charity Hitch. Charity is on our pastor nominating committee, and as you know, is involved in many other things in the church and has that forward-looking, goal-setting spirit. So Charity, if you'll come forward.
I'm going to report on the Discovery Academy, and then can I go ahead and report on the Discovery Academy?
Yes,
that okay?
Yes,
okay. The Discovery Academy is still doing well. We have 24 students, and I didn't ask which Miss Becky or my mom, how many people do you think were at the Santa Supper? There were quite a few. I mean, I think we ran out of table space. At the Santa Supper? Okay. This year for the Santa Supper, which is the dinner we have after the Christmas program, which Miss Becky did a great job on the Christmas program for the Discovery Academy again. My mother thinks we had close to 120, which I know it was definitely full. It was a great turnout, and I think that continues to be a wonderful ministry that we have for our community. Classes resume tomorrow, so keep the teachers in your prayers. I'm sure they have had a nice break. And on the pastor search committee, we will begin meeting on Wednesdays at 8:30. So if anyone wants to join us, they are welcome. We're going to meet here at the church in the pastor's office. And this Wednesday, Becky Jett and I are going to go recreate the PIF. Which is what the Presbyterian Church has to have in order to submit, like start the pastor search committee. And we're going to start brainstorming on ideas that we want. So if you have any wonderful ideas, we are open to anything. If you have anyone in mind, let us know. Or Becky or my brother Coulter is also on the committee. I think that is anything. Yeah, that's all I have on that. But yeah, again, if you have any great ideas on the pastor search committee, let me know. Or again, anyone in mind in another city that you've seen. I mean, I've already personally reached out to people who have not returned my messages, but anyone that you have any ideas on, we would be happy to reach out to them. I think that this is an incredible opportunity for the right person. And we're just looking for that right person. So I think that's all I have.
I think we would all agree that these Ministry of Members Sundays ought to involve an element of worship as well as just a congregational report. So I direct your attention to the cross behind me at the moment, and I want to read to you from a booklet that I think Becky Baggerly prepared for our 115th birthday not too long ago. I come from a family with a 92-year-old history in the Presbyterian Church. I have many wonderful memories about growing up in this church with my family, relatives, and friends, but there is one incident that continues to stand out. I had been living in Colorado at the time and had come home to visit my mother, Mary Lou Sproles, and little sister, Angie. We lived across the street south of the church, a home in which I grew up. Parenthetically, it looked much better back then. As had been the custom for many years, the key to the church hung between our front door and our screen door for any Presbyterian who needed access to the church. One evening, my mother suggested I take a look at the newly constructed church, not yet in use. I grabbed the new key and walked across the street. It was already turning dark, and I did not have a flashlight with me. I stumbled around and finally managed to unlock the east door, walking into what I assumed was a lobby. As my eyes were adjusting to the dark, I walked forward a few steps and sensed that I was in a much bigger room. Fumbling along a wall, I was encouraged when I felt a light switch panel. Not knowing which switch was important, I just tried one. When I flipped that switch, the sight almost brought me to my knees. The light I had turned on was the backlight to the cross. Nothing else was lit up, just the cross. To this day, the powerful sight of that cross and its significance still has an immeasurable impact on me. And that was written several years ago by Mima Hale. We have many missions that we try to accomplish from this particular sanctuary, and one of them is the little free pantry, and I'm going to call on Becky to come forward and give us an update on the little free pantry, which sits right out here on the east side, just beyond that door on the east side of the sanctuary.
In the fall of 2018, the young adult class was discussing something that they could do that would be sort of a more local mission and something that would be a daily service. And I had visited my daughter Catherine in Rochester, Minnesota, and become aware of the Little Free Pantry, Little Free Library movement. And so I went online and did some research on that. And if you put Little Free Pantry in the search, you will just come up with their basic Little Free Pantry site is a site that tells you what the program is about, how to build a Little Free Pantry, how to maintain it, those kinds of things. And their mission statement is, Little Free Pantry is a grassroots solution to immediate and local need, whether in need for food or a need to give. Little Free Pantry facilitates feeding neighbors, nourishing neighbors. So that really seemed like a good fit for us, and we decided to do that. I found an old wooden cupboard that had to be adapted, but between Deb and Pete and Steve Smith and myself, we got that box modified, cleaned up, and painted. And on January the 14th of 2019, Kyle Hawkins and Clark hauled up the finished Little Free Pantry to the church and strapped it to the outside grill work over by the bell tower. And the reason we strapped it was not because we didn't want somebody to take it or we thought someone would take it. It's because it was a little bit tippy and we didn't want it to fall over on someone, so we strapped it to that grill to be sure that it was safe. And we also wanted it in some place, somewhere where it was out of the sprinkler system and out of the rain and snow. And so it's sort of hidden, but I think if you drive down the street, you kind of catch a glimpse of it if you know what you're looking for. But anyway, we got it filled up, and we've been watching it and refilling it occasionally. But for the last few weeks, since Thanksgiving, we've noticed that it has been used, the use of it has increased. And it's been probably emptied about twice a week now. It's not very big, so it doesn't hold a lot of product. But I do occasionally find things that I think someone other than a church member has put in there, like for a while there were probably, and maybe somebody in the church donated these, but there were like 10 sardine cans in there. When I didn't put them in there. I don't think Charity probably did, but anyway, someone had put those in. So the object of Little Free Pantry is use it when you need it, but give back when you can. And that's printed on the box, that's the object, is that it not only gives us an opportunity to give, but it gives people who use it an opportunity to pay back for that use. I would encourage all of our members to participate in this mission. So the young adults started it, but it really is a fun thing to do for everyone. I know that sometimes we're out running around, doing something, driving around, and Clark will say, hey, you want to check the Little Free Pantry? So we come by and see if it's got anything missing, anything that's been taken out of it or used. And so you're welcome to come by and check the Little Free Pantry anytime you want. I, for some reason, when I was writing on it in magic permanent marker, Presbyterian, First Presbyterian, Little Free Pantry, I misspelled Presbyterian. So I left the Y out. I don't know. But anyway, yesterday I tried to correct it, so you'll see. It is spelled correctly, but it's pretty messy. You're willing to check that, and there's some things that you can check for. Is make sure you check in if you're bringing something, or if you're planning to go purchase something for it, bring a variety of things. We don't want to have just one type of food in there, so bring some variety. And also, if you don't have anything to put in it, but you come check on it, check the expiration dates on a few things and make sure we're still within expiration dates. If expiration date comes due, then we just remove those items. We don't use fresh foods. We don't put bread or eggs or anything like that in there. But you are welcome to bring any kind of dried goods, canned goods, non-perishables. Some suggestions from the Little Free Pantry site are things like nuts and peanut butter, any kind of nut butters, canned meat, canned milk, powdered milk, pancake mix, dried soup mixes, canned vegetables, cereal, granola bars, rice or beans. And I try to purchase those. If I'm buying for it, I try to just buy 1 pound packages because the bigger packages don't seem to go. Applesauce, little containers of applesauce, baby food, powdered formula, bottled water, and individually wrapped toilet paper. Those are all some ideas of things that you could bring. But of course, anything that you think you would miss if you just had no money, if this was the last resort, what would you like to find in that Little Free Pantry? This is a mission project that allows us to serve the people of God every day. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18.
From this vantage point, hearing those reports and looking out over this congregation, I believe that one thing that Charity said is absolutely true, and that is this is a tremendous opportunity for the right person to come and be our minister. But until then, we rely on each other in this ministry of the members. Joe Piontek is from Warrensburg, Missouri. I was born in St. Joe, Missouri. St. Joseph is known as the jumping off place to the west. The Pony Express started there. People left there to travel on the Oregon Trail. If you've seen the Gateway Arch in St. Louis, that's what that's all about. And the beginning of the 20th century, there was a great deal of controversy geographically about where does the west begin? And here in the Panhandle, we think it begins at the 100th Meridian, which is the eastern border of the Panhandle over in Beaver County. But I think we should promote our church and our congregation as being the place where the West begins. And I'll read from Arthur Chapman's famous poem, which was written in 1910 and published in 1917. See if you can't identify with this when you shake hands with our members as you leave. Out where the hand clasps a little stronger, out where the smile dwells a little longer, that's where the West begins. Out where the sun is a little brighter, where the snows that fall are a trifle whiter, where the bonds of home are a wee bit tighter, that's where the West begins. Out where the skies are a trifle bluer, out where the friendship's a little truer, that's where the West begins. Out where a fresher breeze is blowing, where there's laughter in every streamlet that's flowing, where there's more of reaping and less of sowing, that's where the West begins. Out where the world is in the making, where fewer hearts in despair are aching, that's where the West begins. Where there's more of singing and less of sighing, where there's more of giving and less of buying, and a man makes a friend without half trying, that's where the West begins. I hope this coming year we can introduce our congregation in that spirit to someone who's looking to find what we already have. May the words of our mouths this morning and the prayers of our congregation be acceptable in the sight of our Lord. If you'll stand and join me in the affirmation of faith.